Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Take this pledge with me.
Come on, brother.
Say with me, please. I. Say your name. Pledge. That from this day forward, I will strive to love my brother as I love myself. I. Say your name. From this day forward, will strive to improve myself. Spiritually, morally, mentally, socially, politically, and economically, for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. I say your name, pledge that I will strive to build business. Build hospitals, build factories, and enter into international trade for the good of myself, my family, and my people. I say your name, pledge that from this day forward,
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Okay, well, before we start, I just wanted to ask Brother James, are you on?
Hit a pocket when we may lose connection, but if I do, please call me right back. It'll only be for a brief instant.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay. I was going to ask you if you want us to open up in prayer for us.
Okay, I'm driving. I can.
Okay, I can.
Yes, ma'am.
I can do it. Okay. Manner of prayer. Truly have turned myself to thee, O Allah, striving to be upright, to he who originated the heavens and the earth, and I am not amongst the polytheists. Surely my prayer and my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, Lord of the world. No associate has he in this I am commanded. I am of those who submit. Thou art my king. There is no God but thee. Thou art my Lord, and I am thy servant. I have been greatly unjust to myself, and I do confess my faults. So please grant protection against my faults, for none grants protection against faults but thee. And guide me into the best of morals, for none guides into the best of morals but thee. And turn away from me the evil and indecent morals, for none turns away from me the evil and indecent morals but thee. And O Allah, bless Muhammad, and bless the true and righteous followers of Muhammad, as thou did bless Abraham and the true and righteous followers of Abraham. And surely thou art praiseworthy and magnified. And O Allah, make Muhammad successful, and the true and righteous followers of Muhammad successful, as thou did make Abraham and the true and righteous followers of Abraham successful. For sure thou art praiseworthy and magnified forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to Young, Gifted, and Black Show, everyone. How is everybody feeling tonight?
Fine, by Allah's grace.
Just trying to get all the phones connected. Well, today's topic, we will be talking about the Tafiq experience and everybody's experience on the holy day. I tend to start with.
Okay, Sister Yatira, I don't know if you're speaking on speakerphone, but we're getting a lot of feedback. Can you
hear
me?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Can you use the phone? Can you use the phone that is 813 is the 650 area code?
That mic is live, it looks like.
Okay, I'm going to hang up this line, and we're going to tune in that one, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me okay, sir?
I know. Yes, ma'am.
Is it better?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm still sibling?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you for okay. Well, today, again, we're just going to be talking about our Tafiqi experience in Holy Day of Atonement. And I just wanted to start with, you know, the feedback of the youth and just asking everyone how their experience was and, you know, what stood out to them. And things of that nature. So we have Brother Mar. And I just wanted to start off with your experience and, you know, what stuck out to you with the holy day this past weekend and, you know, what you enjoyed and, you know, what stood out.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I thank him for coming in the person of Master Fuad Muhammad. And I also want to thank him for raising up one from amongst our midst and the most honored Elijah Muhammad. And also I thank you for leading us a divine teacher, leader, guide, messenger, and Warren I miss, and honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. I'd like to greet the family again. Greeting words of peace. Of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
For me personally, this was, I feel like, one of the best Holy Day of Atonement that I have been to since I came into the Nation of Islam. And just the experience of being around the people of Tuskegee and to see how much they enjoyed being around the members of the Nation of Islam and how they enjoyed us coming in and showing them a different way of life, which rid black men and women of fear of whites. And in a city like that, I know because we used to live in a small city like that where it's in a small country rural town where the blacks feared a lot of the whites. And, you know, just to see, just for them to see us and to see how, even though we had the threat that we had, where they tried to make a threat upon the Nation of Islam and try to disrupt what we had, they didn't see a sign of fear in the eyes of us. And that was something that stuck out with me. And a brother came up to me. He was from Tuskegee, and he was telling me, he was like, man, from the people that he talked to, he said, brother, this is y'all city. This is a second home for you all. And he was telling me, he said, man, we want y'all to come back again. And, you know, to hear that from them, it was great. And I love that aspect. And another aspect that stuck out to me was the fact of the speaking of the farmland. I don't know how many people have been watching it closely, but lately in the news they have been talking a lot about the food and how the food has been is growing with the GMOs, how the government is starting to use a lot of GMOs in their foods now. And you have other different companies that are standing up, right along with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, speaking against the GMOs that they are putting in the food. There was I was reading in the newspaper, they have this rice that they have been trying to create since the 1990s that they just finished creating with the GMOs, and they say they sending the GMO rice, what they call it, golden rice, to all third world nations. Nations that don't have access to the internet, nations that don't have access to television, that don't know what GMOs are and don't know what type of food that they will be receiving. And they're going into these countries and they're telling them that the rice is going to help them with their iron deficiency that they've been suffering from. And the guy that was interviewing the company, he asked him, why not just give them a pill instead of creating rice with GMOs in it? And the brother was saying that the pills wouldn't do enough for the people, so they created the rice to do it. But we all know by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan what the GMOs do to the human body once it is entered into the human body and how it deforms you from the inside out. And now they're claiming that it's for health reasons. But that just shows how they are trying to wipe the black man and woman off the planet, and they're starting in the third world countries with this golden rice. So I don't know if any of brothers and sisters on the phone might have a family in a place like that. They might see that rice, but it would be good if you can inform them about this rice. Don't eat it. You know, they're going to replace the regular rice that they've been using, the brown white rice and the white rice. They're going to replace that with the golden rice. Mm-hmm. And also, another thing with the farmland that stuck out to me is so important that we support the minister with getting this land. You know, I was also looking at Fox News, and they were saying that on November 1st, they're going to cut back on the food stamps that they're going to give the people of this country, and how they now spending $80 million and security of the National Guard security to police and all of their governmental buildings on November 1st because they predicting riots in the streets for how much they're going to cut back on the food stamps. And so now you see, you're starting to see them prepare for the martial law that they're going to bring in with just the food. How they going to take the food out of the people's mouths that they created. They created them to eat 3 and 4 times a day. Now you're going to cut back on the food. They setting it up. They setting our people up for failure. And just recently, they have been in different Walmarts around the country. People have been rioting at the Walmarts lately. They had a video on YouTube of a Walmart where they say it was a glitch in the system, but I don't think it was. I think it was set up to where they had where the people with the food stamp cards, they could go in and they could get as much food as they wanted. You start every shelf in Walmart that had food on it was empty. And once the people fill their shelf, they cart so with the food, they stopped them at the door. And they told them they had to leave the basket. So this has been going on around Walmarts all around the country where they messing with the food stamps. You have over 100 million people in America now on food stamps. And now they saying that they're going to take the food stamps away, which will cause riots in the streets. You know, so that's why it's very important that we as a people support the minister and getting this money for the farmland so we can supply our people with the proper food that is needed, you know. And we can't be afraid to ask anybody for a donation towards a good cause. White people that gave me $20 towards this cause, and they know I'm in the Nation of Islam. So you have some white people that will support this. You have Puerto Ricans, Jamaicans, whoever. We got to get the money from everybody because we plan on being that savior to those people when that food is ran out. So we have to help the minister and help in the cause. So that's something that stuck out to me when he was speaking on the farmland and actually gave us a place where we can go and donate our money. So to me, that was something that was very important, and that's why this Holy Day of Atonement, to me, was one of the best that I've ever attended in my time in the nation. That's what stuck out to me, and I'd like to thank Sister Yeteria for inviting me on to speak. And I'd like to greet the family and greet the words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
salam.
Thank you so much for that, Brother Ahmad. That was very insightful, and I think it's really inspirational here to hear so much knowledge and so much wealth come from, you know, such a young man in the Nation of Islam. So again, I thank you for your insight. You told me some things that I missed out on. You know, more information, and of course, you know, people out there who didn't have this information before. So again, I thank you for your information. Sister Angel, your Holy Day of Atonement experience.
I feel like okay. Thank
you, Salam.
Well, in the name of Allah, who is merciful, my Holy Day of Atonement experience was very family oriented, I would have to say, because I wasn't planning on going, and more so like the day before, my sisterhood came together and made it available for me to go. So, you know, that was a blessing in itself, because when a man of God is on the scene, we never know when it's going to be the last time that we might see him or even be able to get together with the family. So, to sum up my weekend, I would have to say the most powerful or the most, you know, things that touched me the most was when the minister's daughter was speaking and she was making reference to the fact that we are all little Farrakhans or becoming little Farrakhans, and regardless of if your physical body isn't present, us being together and, you know,
making a statement on something that he came and did, you know, that was so historical in America that, you know, as we all know, only one man would be able to do that, and he has to be backed by God, which was some women feel was terrifying. So for her to say that, you know, it just really inspired me to never even get that thought of, you know, if the minister isn't there or if the minister can't make it or, you know, if he happened to have to leave us, God forbid to happen anytime soon. But, you know, when that day does come, because it is coming, that we will be able to stand together as a nation and as a sisterhood and a brotherhood and still carry the weight of resurrecting the dead and saving our people without, you know, the minister actually being here physically, because he has left us enough teachings, enough guide, enough wisdom for us to pick up, you know, that torch and carry it ourselves and go out here and do what needs to be done to get our people. Another part of my holy day that was really enjoyable was, of course, securing my nation as a vanguard, you know. But holding posts was a beautiful experience. Again, you know, the people was very welcoming and very understanding and very excited, you know, to have us in their city, as the Lamont stated before, you know, for them to be like, they want us to come back, and telling us how beautiful we was in our garments, and, you know, some of the sisters had, like, put on more clothes than they would usually do, because they said they knew they was coming to a Muslim event, and, you know, some sisters that might carry mace or anything like that was willing to give that up, you know, just for a few hours or however long, to be amongst, you know, righteous people and just have a good time and hear a good word and get their spirit, you know, rejuvenated to where it wants to be. And that's really hard today to get a black person to give up anything they have that they feel is used for protection for their family. So, you know, just being on security and experiencing that with such ease was another very great experience in Tuskegee. And I just want to thank Sophia Tira for allowing me to get on the show and, you know, verbally express my enjoyment of Holy Day of Atonement this year. And I pray to Allah that the majority of people on the call had the experience that I did, or even better. And I will treat you as I came before you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa
alaykum salam, ma'am.
All these beautiful testimonies, I just, you know, I feel like I'm going back to, you know, to see you all over again. My heart is reaching right now because that's just Angela just speaking. I could bear witness to a lot of things that she was saying. And, you know, a lot of the things that she has said crossed my mind before, and, you know, the minister not being there but still having the believing family there was just, you know, it was really beautiful to see that if he's not there, as she said, you know, physically, you know, we're still there and he's there spiritually and we still, you know, help down the court. So, again, Chris Angel, I thank you for your testimony for, you know, the Holy Day of Becoming experience. Sister Kim, are you on?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. And would you like to share with us your experience at Holy Day of Becoming?
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. In the most holy name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. I summon late them. My holy day experience, my Holy Day of Atonement experience was, it was beautiful as well, as Angel and Brother Maude expressed. I was there with my children, of course, and they had a beautiful time. It was like a family reunion to them. So mine, like Angel's, I guess, was very family-oriented, seeing all the believers. A lot of my believing family is down in Miami. So I got to kind of reunite with a lot of them, especially on our family day on Saturday. That was beautiful for the children to be able to get out, and they were just like even walking away from me, and I was telling, I saw Dasher, Pastor Sandy, and we could give her the greetings and greeted my children and everything, and they like just left, and I was telling her, I was like, my children are running around like they're at a family reunion, like they know everybody, and I got to go around. She's like, they are, they with family. And So that was just the feeling that I had all weekend. It was just beautiful. But just being in Tuskegee, Alabama, such a historical place, and as a homeschool parent, that's why it was really special for me to go to share that history with my children. And we've been talking about it all along, leading up to the Holy Day of Atonement, that we were going here, and we talked about Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver, and for us to get a chance to go to the university and take pictures and success to a Booker T. Washington, lifting the veil of ignorance from off the black man. We walked around that campus for a while on Monday before we came back, and it was just a beautiful learning experience to share with them, and then to have Minister Ishmael share a lot of the history in the lecture that he gave as well. He talked a lot about what Washington went through in building that university and actually producing the bricks that laid the foundation of that university. And that was just awesome. And then to hear my children, you know, talk about it on the way home, and, you know, now in the weeks sharing it with my family and their friends here, what they saw and what they learned, it was just a beautiful learning experience for them. And then, like what Brother Ahmad said, on the farmland and just the need to give to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because we know he's going to purchase land and grow food in a way that's going to be of both benefit to us, not these all this genetically modified organisms that we're getting right now that's going to eventually kill us off sooner than, shorten our lives greatly, basically. And so just the need for that is so just so vital right now. And like you said, we see it all over the news. Other people are expressing it. There's here in Plant City, this is a very huge agricultural place. Of course, everybody knows about the strawberries, but everything else grows here, too. There's a lot of all types of farmland here, and there's a lot of community gardens and things like that, and they have speaks and community garden events showing people how to farm and do things in their own yards because of the dangers of the groceries, of the different GMOs and pesticides and, you know, all the things that they put on the food that we get right at the grocery store that's shortening our lives here again. So the minister is just right on time with what's going on. If we're paying attention to what's going on in the news and what's happening with our food, we know that it's absolutely vital that we give and that we do things in order to produce our own land and have our own farm. So that's the big thing that's from it. But the learning experience that I got with my children being there was probably one of the best. And always, it's always an honor to be able to go to an event for the nation to come and give work and give myself in the form of security. That's always a joy and a pleasure. The believers and the guests that come to hear the message is always just a part for me to be a part of that. Thank you for allowing me to have my wake up.
Thank you. Okay. I don't know if someone's moving around or something, but can you mute your phone? I don't know what that noise is.
Yeah, I hear it too.
Yeah, I hear it, but I don't know what phone it is. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Then call.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you for speaking to that.
You're welcome.
More information. From so many different perspectives. So, you add on things that I didn't know or something that everybody gives something to someone else. So maybe I didn't get something for Brother Ahmad or Sister Angel or, your experience wasn't the same as mine. So, for sharing it with us. So thank you again, sir.
Yes, ma'am, you're welcome.
Brother James?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we are forever grateful thankful to Allah for making himself known in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up his messenger Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given that one whom the scripture refers to as the Spirit of Truth, who has, is, and will guide us into all truth. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Once again, in their names, I want to greet you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to be very brief. I want to thank you, Sister Yatira, and I want to give a shout-out to our brother, Ronnie X, who is not necessarily with us on the show physically, but he certainly is in spirit. And, of course, always my gratitude to our beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and to that staunch soldier of the Kareem who is ever present in this hour, to Brother Ahmad, to Sister Angel, to Sister Kimberly, to all of you. I can't tell you how complimented I feel whenever I'm asked to be a part of this show entitled Young, Gifted, and Black. Not that I see myself as being old at all. I just want to make that qualification. However, it is very reassuring and edifying to me, really comforting to me, to listen to the experiences of our young brothers and sisters of the Day of Atonement. This is critical as far as I'm concerned. You are the future, and you are the present, and you are the extension of those of us who, by Allah's permission, have more years behind us or more days behind us than we do, inshallah, in front of us. And so how you see it is much, 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 much more important, in my humble opinion, than how I see it. In fact, it is a great reward to see the Day of Atonement, to experience it through your ears, through your eyes, through your thoughts, and through your expression. We were blessed to be a witness to the student gathering at, I think it was Booker T. Washington High School in Tuskegee, wherein we would witness the brilliance of our young brother, Jaleel Muhammad, and his fruitful effort of calling 300 students from all over the country to participate in that event. What it manifests to me is that our future is secure. And what it also manifested to me was the necessity that we, as Muslims, must be ever vigilant, watching everything in sight and listening to everything in hearing and walking our posts in perfect manners, because the enemy sees the brilliance that the nation has produced. You are the best generation that we have been blessed to produce, dear brother and sister, and we see it, we recognize it, and we honor it. But the enemy also sees it, and he also recognizes it, and the battle that is being waged, the war that is being fought, is for your minds. And this is why you see such proliferation of sexual deviance and disrespect of women and the exhortation of material things such as cars and clothes and diamonds and gold and all of that. It is to distract the young black brother and sister from their purpose for which God has brought them into being. But what we witnessed on the Day of Atonement, specifically and particularly at that youth meeting, that student meeting, was that we are escaping the enemy's trap. by the grace and power of Allah, demonstrated in the leadership and message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I am very, very happy. I feel very secure as I listen to your expression of what you experienced. I'm very, very thankful to Almighty God, Allah, for you. I know that as long as you live and I stand and live for the principles that you stand and live for, which is Islam, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and expressed and taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, though my days, inshallah, may be short, yet my life is extended because of you young, beautiful, strong, brilliant brothers and sisters. And so I just wanted to express my gratitude because that's what the day gave to me. A spirit of gratitude, a spirit of appreciation, to know that if I stay on this course and do all that I can to safeguard the growth and development of our young brothers and sisters, then I know that my life has not been in vain, and I will live by extension through the lives of my young brothers and sisters. So I thank you. Thank you, thank you. And may Allah continue to bless you. I'm going to excuse myself if you don't mind, but I'll be listening because I want to hear your expression. May Allah continue to bless you, young brothers and sisters. May Allah continue to bless you, dear Queen and Brother Kareem. See, I'm not going to say we're the old soldiers. I'm not going to say that. But I will say that we are the experienced soldiers, and our responsibility is to make sure that any enemy that comes against our young people, that we eliminate them from the face of the earth.
That's
and I
right.
know, Brother Kareem, you are willing to do that. And as I am,
yes,
as
sir.
Am I, and I don't even have to ask, Sister Aziza. So may...
Suited and booted for the occasion all the time.
So may Allah continue to bless you. Thank you again, Sister Yatera, for allowing me to be a part of this show. You all give me life, Sister Angel, Brother Ahmad. You inspire me and you keep me young. So thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Aw, I'll praise you, Miss Lola. Well, James, your words are always so sweet.
So praise you. Sister Lila always calls me mushy, but ain't nobody more mushy than she is. She just tries to hide.
I am not mushy. I'm a soldier.
Brother Kareem, we know better. We know better, brother.
Y'all not supposed to tell on me? Oh, man, okay. I'll pray for you to tell. Okay, Sister Yatera, we're going to be quiet now.
No. No better. Yes, ma'am, I just want to briefly go over what my highlight for the holiday of the Tongue experience. I was on post for most of the lecture part, but the student conference, you know, I was really excited for that part because, you know, I wanted to do something, you know, school-wise, but I know I want to do something that, you know, that I can end up taking it and turn around and give it back to my nation. So, you know, just going and seeing so many different, you know, so many diverse young black students at the conference was just, I can't even explain, you know, how wonderful that was because, you know, we had believers there. We had, you know, just you know, young conscious black students who just wanted to, who were aware, you know, of the state that we were in. You know, young black students who are aware and conscious of what is going on, and you know, maybe they don't have all the answers, but you know, their eyes are opening up to admit and see and, you know, address it. And that was inspiration for me on so many levels because, you know, just being in the world before, you know, I didn't see that a lot. You know, I feel like I stood out, you know, even before I found the nation, before Allah brought me to the nation. But now that I'm in it and I see, you know, I see the path, just seeing that, you know, people aren't necessarily members, you know, of the Nation of Islam, but they're able to see that something's wrong here and I want a better future and life is so much more than this. And, you know, I'm questioning it and I'm joining on to certain things to see why it's like this and, you know, things of that nature. And some of them came up there and, you know, asked beautiful questions at the conference or just made statements of hope. And, you know, that was really, really a highlight for me because, you know, my passion is with the people. And, you know, I'm just coming out of my show with coming out and speaking and things like that. But just seeing it, living it, being around it, you know, it gave me hope. And, you know, it really helped. It's helping me, you know, guide me into the person that I'm becoming and molding me into, you know, what I want to be and things of that nature. But, again, it was really the highlight is to be around so many youth, young black students who are aware of what's going on and have an interest, not just aware, but have an interest in changing, you know, their future and the future of the society and world today. So I just wanted to share that with you all. And, I mean, this was, you know, one of our first, this was my first Holy Day of Atonement, but this was my first event, you know, an outside event so big. And, you know, I just wanted to know if anybody wanted to share their, you know, their opinions on how they felt about, you know, Holy Day of Atonement being outside, you know, having an outside event. And, you know, Brother Ma mentioned earlier that we have that, you know, that 1B threat hit on us with the, you know, the motorcycle game, but, you know, any concerns or just anything anybody wants to share as far as, you know, having an outside event?
I really didn't mind it being outside. You know, it really, you know, when we got a law on our side, so it really doesn't matter whether you're inside or outside. You know, Million Man March was outside, too, so, you know, we don't fear being outside or nothing like that. So, you know, we only fear our law. We don't fear man. At least we're taught that. And when I was getting ready to go on post, I guess a group of the bikers rolled by, and then they had a couple of the ladies on the back yelling out, "Peace, peace!" You know, when the same ladies once before they had took off, they actually walked through the event. They had two of the biker girls. They came and walked through the event, and I guess what they saw on the inside of the event when they left, they caused them to yell out, "Peace!" when they was riding by. You know. So that's what how I feel about it. Right.
Yes, sir. I agree, Brother Ahmad. It's like, you know, it just to me just shows forth the power of Allah, because nothing was going to happen to us. We were there representing and standing with the man of God. So, you know, it really didn't matter where it was going to take place. Like you said, the Million Man March was outside, and, you know, a few years back when we had the Million Family March, we were back in Washington, D.C., outside, and, you know, we still, you know, the same process as usual. You know, your security, all general orders are in effect. So we know, you know, how we need to handle ourselves in that aspect, but, you know, inside, outside, then, you know, those same general orders are in effect. So I felt just as comfortable there as anywhere else it could have been. And it was just such a beautiful day. That just made it even, you know, the nicer to me, the fact that we were outside on such a beautiful day and such nice weather that we were blessed to have.
Yeah,
You are, yes, ma'am. And yes, sir, I agree 100%. I thought, I didn't really feel, you know, I was actually more amused than anything, you know, when the bikers decided to ride by. You know, like Little Mont said, you know, we fear anyone but Allah. So it was, you know, the outside environment was beautiful. It was comfortable. I didn't feel, you know, threatened or anything of that nature. So I thought that was great. Now, oh, Sister Queen, if there are any callers in queue or anything like that, if you need to take calls or comments or questions from anyone, if there are any.
Brother Kareem was actually engineering tonight, and my screen is going in and out. I didn't see any questions, but let me remind the listening audience that if you have questions, please press 1 on your dial pad, and Brother Kareem will bring your mic in live. And my computer is really acting up, sis, so I don't even have my chat room open. So I don't have any from the chat room. They're already mad at me, I know. But I can't get it open. I'm having signal issues in my area.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
But if you don't mind, Cecilia Tara, I have a question. Because I wanted to ask all of you who are on the panel, you know, how did the or what was the attendance like of the students that attend Tuskegee University, and how do you all now look at agriculture? You know, there are a lot of students who go to college, and of course they are pursuing degrees in business and things of this nature, but as the minister is instructing us to go back to the land, agriculture is something that we as a people have greatly gotten away from, and so now it's like vital that we have this knowledge and we obtain this skill. So I wanted to see if you had spoken to anyone or has anyone thought about gravitating to agriculture now, since we are seeing how critical that situation is. And what was the student body like if you encountered any in Tuskegee? And that's for anyone who wants to answer.
This is Kimberly. I'm out of school. I'm a lot older than Angel and Brother Ahmad. I have children of my own that are in school now. But as a parent now, I'm really pressing with my children. I have a five-year-old now who says she wants to be a farmer, my youngest one. And I'm really, you know, pushing her towards that. And when we listened to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he spoke on one of the time and what must be done and explaining how, you know, farming is the first, you know, career. You know, farming is just essential to the lifeblood of any nation, and she's like so proud of herself that she said that she wanted to be a farmer even before she heard him say that. So now she's really on board. And I have a 19-year-old son as well, and you know, I'm trying to, you know, show him that same direction with either agriculture or engineering, you know, something where he's working to build something, because that's just, you know, that's what we need at this time. That's going to be of service to us as a nation. You know, when I was in college, you know, I was just like everybody, like you were saying, you wanted to be in business, you wanted to be in education, you wanted to be anything other than agriculture. And I didn't really see and understand how necessary it is now. And even, you know, in what ways that I can, you know, just doing small things around my own home and wanting to start my own little garden and things like that to grow and show my family the importance of having your own food growing fresh, that you know where it came from, you know what you've added to it. The importance of that is just vital. I didn't encounter a lot of students at Tuskegee. I went to the campus, and we encountered a few that were around, but they were all extremely excited about the Nation of Islam being there and the possibility of them seeing and hearing from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, it was just a lot of excitement and buzz on the campus when I was there. Of course, there was a lot of other believers from the nation that was around taking pictures and touring and stuff as well. But all the students that I encountered, they were very excited and just, you know, just seemed open to want to listen and learn and understand more. Some of them had been listening to the time of what must be done, and some of them were just, you know, curious to know, you know, why he was here and what he was going to talk about. They were just very open to it. But that was, you know, I didn't encounter a lot of students. But at the actual event, I know there was a large section that was just for the college students, and it seemed to be packed full of young people. So it was beautiful to see.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So is there anyone on the phone now that is leaning towards agriculture as far as a study in institutional higher learning? I'm just curious. I guess that's no. I mean, it's okay. I just asked. Okay, Cynthia, that was all. Maybe Brother Kareem has a question. I don't know.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Brother Mott. I took a small class on horticulture before, and they taught us how to grow the, you know, certain plants and how to prune the, you know, the plants and things like that. So I had kind of a small class on that and got a certificate in it. So it had kind of opened my eyes. This was before I even, you know, came into the Nation of Islam. It opened my eyes a little bit to, you know, how much effort it goes to in just growing food and taking care of the ground around the food, you know. So, and now that the minister is he's teaching us about the GMOs, it's growing my interest in the food that we eat in the land. So I have a little bit, but not as much as needed.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it is my prayer that at some point all of us get to obtain the knowledge of that culture, because I'm even myself, I'm what you call a corporate girl, so to speak, and a lot of people think I'm a diva, but I'm not, and I'm so proud because I managed to grow some cucumbers on my patio, so that's a start. And you know, I never really took the idea seriously until I realized that it was so very critical, because when you think about, you know, your food supply, we have so taken for granted the ability to, you know, when groceries are low, we can go out to the store, run to the store and buy groceries. But now it almost seems primitive to think that now we're going to have to go to the backyard to get our food, because the food supply is so contaminated or is so deadly that, you know, it can kill us, in, you know, in not over a matter of a great consumption, but just a very minute consumption of the food, because people who are ill, have low immune systems for whatever reason, bad food is almost like taking cyanide to people who are typically unhealthy. I know myself, I have a respiratory condition that I've had all my life, and I know I just can't afford to have a bad diet. And so it's very critical that, you know, not even if we're just going to be farmers, so to speak, to a full capacity, but at least we have to have the basics on how to grow vegetables, especially navy beans, for the survival of our people. And, you know, men and women and children, and this is something they don't have to wait to go to college for. They don't have to obtain a degree to learn how to do this. This is a survival skill that we as parents have to take on the responsibility of, number one, getting that education, and, of course, passing that education on to our youth. So I just wanted to make that comment, but thank you for sharing, Brother Ahmad.
Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam, sir.
Yes, this is Brother Kareem, and as always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Faraz Muhammad, and in the name of the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of our divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, I do want to share just a little bit, first of all, and say I appreciate and thank all of you who are here with us, you know, the youth. Recently, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was here in St. Louis, and he did a lecture which was entitled Reclaiming Our Youth. And so, again, as he pushes and reiterates how important you are, because indeed you are our future, really you are our present, because it is through you and your understanding and your practical application of these teachings that we will bring in the hereafter. You know, I just want to say, as you know, as far as agriculture is concerned, I mean, I grew up as a little boy. My babysitter, my mother would leave us there, and she had, you know, in East St. Louis is the place, everybody had a garden. And when I say a garden, I don't mean the little bitty garden. I'm talking about they had fields. I mean, you would have thought you were, quote, unquote, in the country, even though people consider it a city. But, I mean, I learned how to shuck corn and snap beans and weed and things of that nature, you know. So, I mean, I do understand the importance of it. The thing is that I want to share this with us, is the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us that there were three things in order to be successful that we must have. And the three things he mentioned are, number one, at the head of the list, he said we must master mathematics. He didn't say learn it, he said we had to master mathematics. The second thing he said we had to have was a comprehensive understanding of history. And the third thing he said that we must have to be successful was a command. He didn't even say an understanding of, he said a command of the English language. And, you know, because we had a lot of talk about the GMOs and things and the various, anything that does not promote the health, well-being, and welfare of the body of the human being is not food. It is a consumable, meaning it can be consumed. You can take it into your body. In order for it to be classified as food, it must promote the health and well-being of the being, of the body. You know, so we should be clear on that when we're sharing this teaching and this information with people. We have to get them out of the habit of just labeling anything that you can put in your mouth as food. It's not. It's just like anything, for example, the difference between, let's say, the Holy Quran and a book of pornography. They both can be read, but they're not both food. There is no such thing as bad food and good food. It's either food or it's poison. You know, and I mean, the thing is, and I share that because, again, you as my future, just like you are, I heard each and every one of you talk about how the people, and I want you to think about this, how the people of Tuskegee just open themselves up to you, and even when the enemy, whoever that enemy was, came to make a threat, they were immediately backed down. We did a subject a few weeks ago on Conscious Black Nation, where we talked about where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. You know, just to mention the fact that Student Minister Donna Farrakhan talked about how you're all, we're all little Farrakhan. Well, yes, that's because each and every one of us must grow now to the point that, yes, because I love the minister. Believe me, I don't think nobody could beat me loving the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because of what he's done for me personally. And I'm not going to even get into that. But the thing is that when I was a little boy, I remember a sister who was, she was the first officer for the sisters during the time when my mother was first, we were first coming into the mosque, quote unquote. And though I was raised under the teachings, we entered the mosque later. The thing is she asked my mother one day, and I was standing right there when she asked, she said, well, if the messenger died tomorrow, what would you do? And my mother stood there with this look on her face. She was confused. She was like, she didn't understand. What do you mean? And the sister replied to her. She said, I remember Sister Ann. Sister Ann said to her, she said, you have the teaching. You continue on. Because each and every one of us is a representative of Almighty God Allah. It just depends upon what our understanding is and how we apply these teachings. So, I mean, I just wanted to share that, and I'm going to get off because you all are doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm here to engineer, not to run my mouth. I'm going to listen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I'll say you just a lot, Brother Green. That was,
wow.
A lot of wealthy information.
praise be to
you. Yes, sir. I don't even know where to start with that. Everything is great. I want to keep the clean with the question with the agriculture. Just adding on to what Brother Cream was saying, I haven't taken any, you know, classes in school or anything of that nature, but I've gone up to the communities and looked at, you know, community gardens, and there's some different organizations. One of them that we attended was called SUAC. I can't remember what it stood for, but, you know, they were talking about, you know, raising awareness in agriculture and different things that you can do in community gardens and getting community lots and, you know, planting food and the different regulations or things of that nature and good soil and compost and different things like that. So agriculture is definitely something that, you know, I have an interest in because, you know, especially with all what's going on with the food, wanting to do for self and, you know, wanting to sustain my own life, I definitely have an interest in agriculture, but inshallah, one day I'll have, you know, more of a learning experience, and I'll be able to do more with that. But for the community, that was just a lot of great information. And the other great point that you made was, for me, that stuck up to me was when you were talking about, you know, there's no such thing as good food and bad food. You know, food is food, and everything else, you know, is poison. It's one or the other. It's either food or it's not. So, you know, I like that analogy. And, you know, maybe that's something that someone else can take and, you know, that might open their eyes in another way or put it in a perspective that they haven't looked at it before. So thank you for that.
And I believe Mr. Angel can speak now.
Assalamu alaikum. I never took agriculture as well. However, in my study group, they do touch bases on it almost every time we meet, dealing with, you know, just starting with something small and planting at least one vegetable or fruit in our own, you know, backyard. Well, not even in our backyard. It was basically telling me we could start it in our window, me and Sister Yatira, and, you know, just starting with one little basic thing and watching it grow and basically just starting the mentality of doing for self and for our community. And, you know, as far as MGT being MGT, agriculture plays a big role in, you know, our seven units because we have how to cook, how to eat to live, and things like that. So all that, we would want it to come from freshly grown, none, this pesticides, hormones, or anything of that nature in our homes, you know, when we're feeding our family. So agriculture does play a big role, and I am very, you know, open to it and intrigued on the information that I hear about it. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
I feel like a lady woman. Thank you, Angel, for your viewpoint. With all that being said, with the, you know, with the new world, with the building a new world, the conference, the agriculture and things of that nature, I just kind of want to, you know, I want to address this not only to the panelists, but, you know, to our listeners to call in and comment on, you know, for youth, you know, what are we doing, you know, in that direction, heading into that direction of, you know, agriculture and providing food for ourselves. And, you know, we keep hearing about the GMOs, and we keep, you know, we're hearing about this different poisonous form of food. So what are you doing in your community, you know, as far as food is going on? You know, what do you, what kind of stand or movements are you guys making? Are we making, you know, as a nation to prolong our lives and to make our own food? And, you know, I know we've had different, we've had different experiences in the past, as y'all just shared, you know, with agriculture, but, you know, are we making plans for going forward? You know, what do we have goals for food and things like that? Kim, James, anyone? And again, the listeners all as well.
All right, don't everybody speak at once.
I'm sorry, it's Kimberly. I'm sorry, I had my phone muted. I was having some difficulty. Hello?
Oh, it's fine. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I guess, you know, like you were saying, since Angel was saying how they, you know, in the study group they discussed starting just, you know, one thing at a time and starting to plant some things and doing your own garden type things. And like I was sharing, going out to the different community gardens here in Plant City myself and trying to, you know, just start small with utilizing the space that I do have. I mean, I don't own no major farmland, but, you know, I have, you know, some yard and area where you can plant and grow some things. And so I just want to just get started with what I have and learning different things and, you know, going to those different places because, you know, whether it's, you know, our own farm, you know, Muhammad's farm or whatever, you know, people who are farming, they have that knowledge, that information. Just like going to different colleges, you can get information from anywhere. And, you know, it's a lot of people who really value their health as well and they want to grow good, healthy food. Stop it. And so, you know, I just try to utilize those different avenues that are close to me and try to start somewhere with having whatever fresh vegetables that I can personally get my hands on and then start, you know, what I can grow. But, you know, that's definitely a goal of mine is to have more room and more land to be able to really grow some things that will be of help to not just my own personal family, but, you know, to the family of believers that are, you know, around me as well.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. I think that's beautiful because that's, you know, that's the first step of anything, you know, next to awareness and acknowledging it, you know, making that first step and knowing that, you know, you're starting somewhere. You know, you have to start somewhere with everything. So, you know, good for you, sis, and, you know, maybe hopefully inshallah rubs off on this all and, you know, we work together and make that happen. And this, you know, taking a step back, you know, and talking about the agriculture, you know, we're still working on getting that farmland. So, you know, this strategic, you know, experience, you know, we talked about the blueprint, you know, the Muhammad's economic blueprint, and, you know, we have our account where we can now send our money to and, you know, things of that nature. So, again, you know, not only for the, for, you know, our pioneers, but, you know, our youth, this is our future is in our hands. So, you know, what are we doing? You know, what sacrifices have we made to make sure that, you know, we're putting money aside to,
you know, fund our future and make sure that we make those sacrifices and secure our future. So, you know, what personal sacrifices are we all making to make sure that we're cutting back on spending and that what conscious decisions are we making to make sure that we, you know, help secure our future and get our monies up for our farmland and, you know, get our freedom.
This is Kimberly again. I just started really simple. When the minister first told us to have a jar to start saving our 5 cents a day in and 5 cents a day for everybody in your home, just whenever I went to the store, I never used any change. Whatever change, you know, if it was 5 cent, 2 cent, or whatever, I gave a whole dollar, but I have change back. And any change that I had in my purse or in my pocket at the end of the day, I put it in that jar. I haven't gone to the bank just yet to dump it out and see what I have just for that short period of time since the minister told us to start. But, I mean, I have a good-sized jar full of change. And, you know, so I just starting small where I know that it wasn't going to really be, you wasn't going to ever even feel it in my family, you know, because right now, you know, I'm a single mom. Pretty much a single mom, and I'm homeschooling my children at home. So, you know, finances is very tight. So I wanted to start somewhere that I wouldn't really necessarily feel the pain of it, like, oh, I'm making such a major sacrifice. And it doesn't even feel like a sacrifice. I can look at this jar, and I know that I have a good little amount to start out in giving. And then once I empty that out and give and make that deposit, then I'm going to just start filling it up again. And I feel like, you know, once I get it up some, you know, to a good point, go back and make another deposit. So just trying to start small, you know, not trying to hurt myself, but at the same time making, you know, what sacrifice I can to know that this is going to benefit our future, and explaining the same thing to my children because they always, you know, they want 50 cent, a dollar, you know, here and there for, you know, the ice cream man to go to the dollar store, and they just think it's nothing. But then I show them that, you know, we just putting a little bit of change in every day. They're like, wow, they see it growing, and they kind of can understand the concept of saving. Just that was just that little bit of change. Mommy had it at the bottom of her purse, but it keeps adding up. So that's just my little beginning anyway.
Brother Mark, something that I have been doing is anytime I maybe like break a dollar or have any change or maybe see change on the ground, you know, I pick it up. I pick pennies up, everything, and I take it home, and I have during Savior's Day this past, we had the Savior's Day cans, and I kept my can, and so I take it, and I take all the change that I get, and I just put it in the jar. Now that we have the account that we can put the money in, I'm gonna start depositing the money into the bank. But that's something that I've been doing. And, you know, going out to the community and not just only looking to allow only myself to and my family to be a part of it, but also the community that I live in. When I go soldiering, and sometimes I ask some of the people that get the final call on a regular basis, you know, to donate towards the efforts to help out. I ask people at my job, anybody that I had a chance, you know, to ask, I ask them, and it's been pretty good. And the people will donate; they will for something positive. Once we explain to them what it is and what we're doing with it, they will donate. So I'm not just only looking for it to come out of my pockets or my family. You know, I'm asking those people that I come in contact with. It's only 35 cents a week. You know, we throw 35 cents around like it's nothing. Most people have that sitting in the ashtray in the car. You know, and so that's some of the things that I do throughout the week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I wanted to add, if you don't mind, you know, when we talk about sacrifice, you know, I might be old, you know, so, you know, other people may not have some of the vices that I have personally, But, you know, like that morning cup of coffee or whatever that we might go to Starbucks and buy, you know, I had to make up my mind when I first heard about the reintroduction of the economic blueprint. You know, I really started to think about what I really needed to cut back on, and it just amazed me because I didn't realize personally how much money I was spending on simple things that I could do myself, like, you know, going
you
to the beauty shop every 2 weeks
to
and
record.
Getting...
To send your message, press 1 at any time.
What is that?
To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record...
Is that someone's phone?
It's not I.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But, you know, I was spending really about $200 a month on nails and hair. And so, you know, even if I just didn't go to the beauty shop every 2 weeks and just cut it down to once a month, I mean, that was just $100 a month right there, and I don't get false nails. I was just too lazy to give myself a manicure, and so I've been doing that, and I save about, I'll say about $150 a month just not doing unnecessary things and really taking the time to do things that we can really do for ourselves. I've just been doing it myself, and it has been really, really economically beneficial to me personally, and it just made me realize how much money I was wasting, especially us women. And you know, I'm an empty nester, so I would go and shop just in different places because I was bored, and you know, just spending money for no reason. And you know, when we add it up as a whole, we really can look at what the money can do. You know, if we have 10,000 people who are saving the amount of money that I'm saving, we can do a lot with that money. We can build schools. We can build hospitals or clinics or, you know, we can definitely buy seeds for food, and we can definitely come together and purchase acres of land, even if we don't do nothing but buy an acre at a time. You know, and so I just want to encourage the youth in particularly, you know, a lot of times individually some things seem hard. The road ahead seems very long. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to get with like minds. And so if we can come together collectively and set goals and create projects that are going to be beneficial to our people and to ourselves, that road will become a lot shorter and the process of that will become a lot easier. So I just wanted to state that. Thank you, Sophia Tira, for letting me say something on your show.
Well, offer is just a lot. Thank you for, you know, having what you're saying and wanting to share it. I really appreciate it. You know, you always add something that's really good. So, thank you.
Oh, praise to you too, Eli. Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to keep all my thoughts together. There's something that you said that, you just feel one of your closing statements where it's talking about the, you know, the unifying mindset. And that was something that was talked about at the, you know, the student conference. One of the biggest things was how, you know, we're not here to, you know, convert people to Islam and things of that nature, but if we have, we're here to unite, and people confuse unity with...
Sister Yatera, I'm sorry, beloved, we're kind of losing you. Your voice is really, really low.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me better?
Talk just a little bit if you can.
Ma'am?
Okay, we can hear you good now.
You can hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. I was just, you know, saying that, you know, one of the things that was that we mentioned at the student conference was, you know, the difference between unity and uniformity, and a lot of people confuse the two, you know, where we, our aim is to unite for one common goal, you know, just
the longevity of our lives and, you know, uniting and, you know, looking out for brother and sister and things of that nature. And this is just something that you mentioned and it just came to me. But, you know, a lot of people think that if we're going to unite in a common goal that we have to look, walk, and do and talk the same way and do the same thing. But, you know, that's not what it's about. If we all want to, you know, have better foods and we all want to get land and, or, you know, whatever our common goal is, you know, we don't have to dress the same and talk the same and do the same to get there. But if we're working together in harmony, then, you know, that's the beauty of it. And that's just something I really wanted to, you know, point out, because it was something that was heavy at the student conference, you know, and that was something that a lot of the different students came up and brought out in their own way. You know, we were all saying the same thing in different words. So, you know, I think it's really key to understand that, you know, you can work side by side with your brother and your sister. You know, you don't have to be doing the exact same thing, but, you know, as long as the mindset and the goal and the, you know, the harmony is there, that's, you know, that's what we're aiming for. Yes, ma'am. Did anyone else have a comment or any calls? And if, you know, you see anything, feel free to cut me off anytime for a caller.
Well, we had some people come in and out, and I just want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question and you're calling by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad, and Brother Kareem will definitely bring you in.
Great.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Anybody on the panel, you know, I heard someone mention about the MGT and our 7 units. So, you know, what are we doing or learning differently about foods? You know, because a lot of times we go out and we eat fast food. You know, sometimes we eat on the run because we are so busy. You know, what habits can we break, and that also can contribute to the economic blueprint? Because when you think about how much money you spend on eating prepackaged foods, even though some people say, well, I eat kosher foods or I eat halal foods, you know, it's a big waste of money if you have food already at home and you're buying food because you're eating on the run. What about things of that nature that can also help us save money? All right, so let me get like the minister. Somebody talk black to me.
This is Kimberly. What I think is, for me, what works best for me that I learned from MGT class years ago when I joined the nation is really planning out your meals ahead of time. And so when you go to the grocery store with your list for the week or 2 weeks, however much you want to grocery shop for at a time, you kind of have a menu in mind. Not saying I have to cook this on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, but that I have, you know, all the ingredients that I need to cook certain meals already there, and make it a little bit easier for you when you get ready to start, you know, planning your meals for your family, so that you don't feel like, oh, man, I got to go to the store, I don't have this, I don't have that. I think that's a lot of reasons why, as a mother, you get kind of frustrated and you want to get something fast and something easy because you have to keep going to the store to get everything, you know, to make sure that you put a complete meal together. But if you plan ahead of time and you go grocery shopping for a certain menu that you're going to have for that week, it goes a lot better, and you see yourself saving more money. Because when you go to the grocery store, I mean, I know we've all experienced going to the grocery store hungry, and you pick up all kind of extra stuff that you probably would not even have picked up had you not went there already just thinking about what you want to eat. Then you go putting your food away, and you're like, man, okay, well, I have these vegetables, but I didn't buy any rice to go along with this or any, you know, whatever other side. Or I bought fish, but what am I going to have along with it? Or I need to have whatever seasonings that I want to put on it. So when you go to the store and you already have a full menu in mind, you're going to shop and get everything that you need to do. You know, there's really nothing new, I guess, to say in MVP class, because How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and 2, we know how you know, long ago the messenger put these things out. It's all still the same, you know, and it's still, I think, because we as women have become so much busier outside of the home that, you know, we can make excuses for, oh, man, I just want to pick up something fast. You know, the children have to eat. You know, we still, we got to go back to where our foundation is and where our base is to take care of our families and at home first and, you know, be that nurse, that doctor in the kitchen so that we'll have, you know, good wholesome meals for our family for their health and survival. And like you said, not to mention, you know, financially, how you save when you just prepare meals at home rather than eating out. But what's a big help to me is doing the meal planning so that when I go to the grocery store, I don't just get, you know, fish and chicken and this and that. This and that. You know, I get whatever I'm going to fix for a whole meal for several days so that when I go in the kitchen, it won't be like, oh, man, I'm going to have to run back to the store. That's what will make you want to make those shortcuts.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we also have, you know, how can I put this delicately? You know, the minister is about nation building. Mm-hmm. And we have to really think nation and not think mosque. And so as we are helping the minister reach our people, you know, we have to think about educating our community as well. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people who are not privy to or never heard of how to eat to live, you know, we as the MGT in particularly who have been taught that the our kitchen is our medicine cabinet, we have a responsibility to teach our people because when we approach them on a religious aspect, it's almost like, okay, well, they're fishing for me to come to the mosque. But we are the owners of the planet Earth, and we have to go get all of our people. And so we as Muslims who are blessed with these teachings, we have a responsibility to go out into our communities and teach them about diet. And I would love to see every mosque, especially with the youth having so much energy and really, you know, being able to get around and maneuver around like they can to inspire the people in their community, in their neighborhood, to come to a health fair where we actually teach how to eat, to live, to the community. You know, and so that people can be aware of GMOs. A lot of people don't even realize that it's hazardous. You know, if the FDA introduces something new, they just figure like, oh, well, the government is not going to do anything to hurt us, and that's illegal, so we trust them, and not to even realize that they're actually plotting and planning your demise. And so a lot of our people are oblivious to this information. And so by us having it, and you have to understand how the food actually affects the mindset. And even though you might be feeding your children according to how to eat to live, what about the next door neighbor's child? What about a child that they may encounter in school? And this child is having violent rages and things of that nature because of his or her diet, and they don't even realize it. And so that person comes in contact with your child is in immediate danger. And that's why it's so very important that we have to go out and teach. But oftentimes we don't think about that. We don't think about, we think about what we do in our homes and what we do that's beneficial for our family. But what we don't realize is that who we are growing up around, who we are living around, has a very, very important and a great impact on our families and our persons because they are in our immediate environment. And so really it's more than about getting our people, bringing them to the mosque, but bringing them to the teaching. And so yes, we have to use an approach of community versus
mosque.
And I just want to hear
what y'all think about that?
Yes, ma'am. The minister, prior to Holy Day of Atonement, he was telling us just that, that we have to open up the MGT class and open up the FOI class to
mm-hmm.
the community. And I think, you know, he's talking about just that, because what good is it that, like you just said, my children are healthy, but they're going to school next to a child that, you know, is having all kind of problems because in their lunchbox they get all kind of things. They got GMOs in it and pork byproducts and all those other things. And that's exactly what he was saying. And you know, by God's grace, I had the pleasure of being in Miami for a number of years when Sister National Captain Sandy was the regional captain there. And we
mm-hmm.
did a Sister Love Thyself program, and we would go out into the different community centers and do that, teach sisters about sewing, teach sisters about proper hygiene and care. We went to a girl's, like a detention center, but it wasn't. It was like a day detention center. It was like a school for girls that were like in a diversion program from going to like a detention center where they had to be at 24 hours a day. And we would teach them different things about themselves and self-esteem type things. And, we was always in there about, you know, how to cook and how to sew and just being a sister. And that's so important that we go out into the community because, you know, the messenger has taught us. When people know, we got neighbors right next door, they've been living next to us for years. We go into the mosque, we're taking care of ourselves. We know, you know, the day is going to come when we're not going to be able to have easy access to the grocery store, so we got food stored up or a garden. And then they're over here hungry. They're like, man, I'm going to kill you. You knew all of this all the time and didn't say anything to me. You know, we're going to be accountable. We're going to be accountable for those neighbors that we just looked at every day and ignored. So, yes, ma'am, that's 100% accurate.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm going to be quiet now. And I love to hear from Brother Kareem because, you know, me and Brother Kareem, we nation babies. We've been around a long time. So, Brother Kareem has a lot to offer. Especially dealing with holistic health because, and you know, that's what I love about this program and I love about just, you know, being able to network in this capacity because we meet so many beautiful, wonderful people that otherwise we may have never encountered. But Brother Kareem, you can call him Dr. Kareem, he deals with holistic health. So, Brother Kareem, don't you be sitting over there depriving the youth of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That is a no-no.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Well, thank you for pricking my brain, you know, because that's what we have to do to each other sometimes. And I would never, never deny anyone of anything. As a matter of fact, what you've just done is give me a segue into promoting Monday night's show.
Oh, okay.
You've given me a segue into that, and I'm hoping that everybody that has any bit of information will join us on Monday for Conscious Black Nation.
And we also want to join us on Monday, too, especially
yes.
the MGT, because we know that the FOI may be in class, but you sisters need to join
yes.
us at 8 o'clock.
Yes, yes, because we need that input. Just what you were just talking about, you and the sister were just talking about, is the fact that that is what we have to do. I mean, I don't want to get off the subject. It's really on the subject, but one of the things that we do have to do is go to the people, not proselytizing, okay? When they see you, using this language, the aura, if you will, the energy just coming off of you, they already know that you're different. That's what we were taught, unlike attracts. And so they know you, so we don't have to proselytize. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this to us. He said that you don't have to even put his name on it. Just teach the truth. Well, the best way of teaching is by example. And, for example, one of the things is, I'll use the FYI for example. Yes, we go out into the community. Yes, you got the final call. Honestly, studying the history of the Nation of Islam, Master Faraj Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever, never stood on a street corner. He went door to door. He knocked on the people's door. So if we, for example, go into the community, knock on the door, and the first time we're letting them know that we're from the Nation of Islam, we have the final call, we have these products, et cetera. All right, that's fine. Then there should be a second time we go to their door, and we should be going not to offer them a product, but to find out what their needs are. Talk to them and get to know them, see what's going on with them. We get invited into their home, and we can talk to them and have conversations with them, and they're going to tell you. The majority of people I talk to in the neighborhood, they're going to tell you what their problems are, particularly health problems. And that is the opportune time to introduce them to How to Eat to Live. You don't even have to introduce them to the book first. If we're living it, if we're eating one meal a day, if we are eating the proper food that's given to us in How to Eat to Live, then we know the results, the different conditions that we've had, where we can relate to. We know what foods will heal the people so that we can offer to them and let them know, well, see, that particular item, we don't even have to tell them it's a GMO. Don't get real technical with them. Just answer their question. If, for example, if an individual is suffering from arthritis and they're going to tell you about particularly they're giving them shots, steroids, or they're giving them this particular medication or that particular medication, and then you look at them and they're still in pain, they say, yeah, well, the doctor gave me this and it worked for a while and now it's stopped and so I got to go back and get you, let them know, okay, arthritis, real simple. Tell them to add comfrey, a herb they can buy in any store, to their diet. Let them, if they like fruit, tell them to get a real papaya. Not this papaya drink, but get a real papaya and prepare it. Now, real papayas aren't that necessarily sweet, even when they're ripe. So if they need a little sweet on it, we'll tell them to get some raw honey. You know, and try it. And we can even go so far as to let them know, you know what, I'll come by and I'll prepare this for you. This is the service. If we look at the story of Jesus in the Bible, you notice that when the time came, he went to the disciples and told the disciples, let me wash your feet. It's the same thing. We have to go as servants to the people. There are some books, and I will say this, there are a lot of books on various holistic methods, they call them, books like Back to Eden, African Holistic Medicine, books like that. They're fine for us to study and get various information that's not maybe contained directly in How to Eat to Live. However, How to Eat to Live is the basis. So we can't sift How to Eat to Live through this other information. We have to sift the other information through How to Eat to Live. And anything that doesn't agree with How to Eat to Live, then we know that that's not something we deal with. But that's how I, as a holistic doctor, naturopath, that's how I deal with the people. I'll give you an instance, and I'll say this now because it's been years, and honestly, they really wouldn't have a case coming against me talking about I'm practicing medicine without a license because I don't practice. As a matter of fact, anybody that does practice, I let them know you keep stepping. And when you get it right, then we can talk. But I don't practice anything. I only share with individuals, and that's what we do. We share with them our experience, strength, and hope in our practical application of the teachings that we have been given. That is why it is so important not to be a quotologist. I need to have experience with this. When you read How to Eat to Live, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you notice, he said that he took himself off How to Eat to Live so that he could see what the result would be. Well, since he's already done that, when we don't need to perform that experiment, we already know that when you stop living according to How to Eat to Live, you're going to get bad results.
we can go to the people and let them know. You don't necessarily have to let, because they, remember, their thinking has to be changed also. But the way that we get to their thinking is by solving a problem that they have, particularly a health problem. If you can go to a person who is in constant chronic pain and within a 2-week to 30-day period bring them out of that pain, you have gained a friend for life. Somebody who is going, when somebody comes to them with a problem, they're going to say, well, I know this brother, or I know this sister, and they shared with me this, and I got this result. Give you a prime example, a client that I have right now who, as a matter of fact, not even a client, a friend, started out, went over there to do some small construction work for the sister, and she was complaining about everything, her weight, her back, her feet, everything was wrong. I introduced her to one of the many herbs that I use, which is in line with how to eat to live, because as the messenger told us in there, we don't use every herb. But I introduced her to that. It gave her relief from one of her conditions, and then she became interested. At this point right now, this is a sister that had all those, I don't want to say good, but I guess that's how they would look at it, all them good things that they like to eat, you know, the malls and them chops and all that other stuff, to now, 6 months down the road, the people in her church are asking her, why does she look so good? Why does she have such a bounce and a glow to her? We've gone from a person who was a hog eater, yes, to now she don't have none of that in her house and is about to go totally meatless. And she has both copies of How to Eat to Live 1 and 2. But I didn't go in proselytizing. I went in as a servant of Allah to solve whatever the immediate problem is, and that's how we have to get to our people. I mean, simple things, everyday things, garlic, onions, but they need to know that they need to cook the onions. Raw onions are okay on occasion, but you need to cook onions, because raw onion, too much raw onions, can actually give you heart problems. I won't go into all the detail on that right now because of the shortness of the time. But, I mean, just little information like that, little things. Like I said, garlic, onions, if they begin to start using comfrey, cinnamon, raw honey, these are all things that we need to be doing to help and save ourselves. And I'm going to say this about the GMOs. You know they've been able to genetically modify everything on the planet, all the vegetables, the fruits, and everything. I saw something the other day was I don't know what to call it, a co-orange. It was a kiwi and an orange. I don't know about that. You know, so they've been able to genetically modify everything on the planet except one thing, the lazy bean. They cannot. They have tried everything in their power to genetically modify it, and they can't genetically modify it. What does that say about the wisdom of Master Farad Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and, yes, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? And so I hope something I shared was a benefit, you know, because that's, again, what we do have to do. We got, in order to go get our people, again, I'm going to say this, it's not always about telling them I'm a Muslim. I don't have to wear my Islam on my sleeve. If I'm living it, then when I walk in the room, when you walk, if you're living it, when you walk in the room, when you walk through the neighborhood, that's why you're so attractive, because that's God walking. That's how we got to look at this thing. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir. Mr. Queen, do you have anything that you want to say to that?
No, I'm waiting to hear from y'all.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
No, this is you all. So I want you all to be able to express, you know, whatever you thought about what Brother Kareem said or whatever it is that you all want to talk about, you know, because your peers need to hear from you all.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I do have a hand up, pardon me. I'm going to bring that mic in right now.
Okay.
And of course, area code 813. The prefix is 952. Your mic is live.
I know who that is.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Jahad Amos Muhammad. Mr. BYC.
Hello, Akbar. Hello,
Akbar.
Hello, Akbar. First, let me seek refuge in Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I'm really enjoying this conference and the spirit of our young brothers and sisters and the wisdom that is being offered and given by our elder brothers, our counselors. I got one question for the panel. And being that many of you were very young during the Million Man March, have any of you took time out to study that historic lecture that was given on that day? And what impact have it served on your life today? You know, experiencing these holy days of atonement, the commemoration of the Million Man March, if I'm understood.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jihad. This is Kimberly.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. The Million Man March, that was pretty much my turnaround moment in Islam. I had heard from different messages of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan while I was in college, and I was interested and I was curious about things. I even went to a Savior's Day in Atlanta in 92, 93, something like that, and Brother James came and spoke at the University of Florida while I was a student there, and I was very interested and very open, but the Million Man March was what just sealed it for me, and that was when I joined the Nation of Islam. So, you know, I'm a little older than the other panelists with us today, so that speech and that moment in time was just life-altering for me, because that was when I knew that it wasn't just
I haven't actually done any studying, you know, on the topic, but, you know, just from hearing, you know, different things and, you know, little bits that I've read here and there, it just
peaceful in D.C. on Sunday. You know, my brother was there. Other members of my family were there to take note, and it was just life altering for me and my family. That was my whole turnaround. I think the Sunday after that, I was at the study group in Tampa, and hadn't looked back. So, yes, sir.
Oh, this must be the Kimberly from Plant City.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum again.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thanks for that, Kim. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I haven't done any studying on Million Man March. It's just everything that I've, you know, heard and, you know, maybe read across. But I just know that, you know, what you know, sticks out, of course, is just the fact that, you know, so many you know, black brothers and together, you know, and I'm not sure how short the call was as a minute to put it out, but, you know, just to have the turnout that, you know, we did have. And one of the brothers here in Temple was just telling us a story about, you know, his experience, because he was there and he was just saying how, you know, just the apartment of like 12 brothers, he said that they stayed in like one hotel room, and, you know, just the way that lines are now for people that when new games come out, new game systems, the lines that be outside the tent, you know, that's how it was, you know, for the Million Man Month. I wasn't there, you know, but the spirit of the Million Man March, it still lives on and strong, and you know, I know I need to do more research on it so I can, you know, really see that spirit even more. But you know, it's really powerful. And when I first heard about it, I was really upset because I didn't learn about it in school, and that really, really, really bothered me because you know I heard about the March on Washington, of course, but the Million Man March, I had no idea what it was, and when I first heard it, I was like, are you talking about the March on Washington and things like that? So, you know, I definitely have to do, you know, more research on it, but the spirit of the Million Man March, you know, it lives on and it will forever.
Allahu Akbar.
I had a question from Brother Kareem was saying, more so, you know, to the sisters, and, you know, going out to the community, because we don't really go out to the community, but, you know, how can we as sisters raise awareness, you know, on these different things in general, just, you know, raising awareness in our communities, the food or, you know, whatever that we have to offer, you know, how is it that we do this, and, you know, while we're, you know, shopping or, you know, what kind of ways, different ways can we bring awareness to our community and things like that?
Is that something like that question for me or?
Oh, no, sir. That was, well, the question was out there for anyone. I was directing it to the sisters mainly because, you know, the sisters.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. You know, how are we raising awareness, but I mean, if you have insight, you know, for free.
Well, from speaking as from MGT perspective, you know, I grew up with a house full of FOI, and if you really want to raise awareness, sister, you got to take it to the street.
Come on.
That's all. You have to meet the people where they are. The people are not in the mosque, they're in the street. And you have to take it to the street. You have to go as a unified, you know, body. And that's how you reach the people. And I don't know if Brother Jihad is still with us, but he is one who has a tremendous amount of experience and success in reaching people. So, Brother Jihad, if you're still on the line, I would love for you to answer that question.
Well, keeping in mind that sisters don't go out to the community is kind of the thought. That my concern is more so because we're not, you know, we don't go out to the community like the FOI do.
Well, we should. And we should go with the FOI is our protectors. They should go with us. But we need to go out to the streets because all of our sisters are not in the mosque. And the minister said that the MTT will be going out into the street. So that's what we need to do.
Right. When, I mean, I agree 100%. You know, when we're allowed to go out, you know, I'm going to be one of the first ones out there to be a little of the law. But, you know, as far as up until that point, you know, at this point, we're not allowed, you know, to go out into the community with a lot of do. So with that being said, How do we raise awareness in a way that we're not going against, you know, with the minister's permission and, you know, not going there too soon when we don't have that permission to do that yet?
You know, I think what Brother Kareem said earlier, and I think Sister Kareem said it as well, as far as being an example to the sisters that we do come in contact with, especially, you know, yourself and other young sisters that are still in school or in that environment among young people, the people are going to see you and it's going to draw attention. When I was in college, I went to college with a sister who was in the Nation of Islam, and I didn't know she was in the Nation of Islam until, like, we were in school together, like, 2-3 years, but I knew it was something different about her. She didn't eat pork. She was very studious. She made really good grades. So we would always come to her, you know, with different questions on studying and how she ate and, you know, just her health and things like that. We would, you know, talk to her because she seemed like the person to go to because she was really fit and she, you know, she ate really good and she was very conscientious about things. And then later on, you know, she told us more about her religion and how she was raised. And I was like, well, I didn't know, you know. Now I know her name was Aisha, and I understand. But, you know, at the time, you know, she was a young person who had been raised in the nation. She didn't want to come to college with, like, a stigma on herself, but she was going to still be herself. And her being that example, she was just like, we would gravitate toward her, not even understanding why we were gravitating towards her, because she never really was, you know, in our face about what her religion was. She just carried herself a certain way, and it made us all kind of stand and take note. And so we have to be that for our sisters that we see. And any opportunity that we get to go to community outreach things, anything that we can be a part of, and any community event that we can be a part of, that's not the same as going door-to-door or going against what the minister would want us to do for our own safety. You know, if it's a community event that, you know, the brothers and we're all at and we have an opportunity to interact with the brothers and sisters in our community, they're going to see you and take note. They're going to want to know, oh, why do you have that on? Why are you dressed this way? Oh, you know, I love taking my children to big events. When I was with the school in Miami and even now as a homeschool parent, you take your children places, especially in the middle of the day, people are like, wow, what are, you know, your children aren't in school? Oh, no, I'm homeschooling. You know, and they want to understand, you know, why you homeschool. Because most people homeschool because they want to be able to not just educate their own children, but instill their way of life into those children. You know, it's not just my religion, what I do on Sunday. It's how I live and how I choose to raise my children as Muslim children. And people notice the difference in them, and they'll ask you questions. So just being that example and being open to have a conversation with people that you interact with. A lot of times people say stuff to us or look at us a certain way, and we automatically kind of get defensive. But we got to just be open because a lot of times, you know, sometimes our people can be a little abrasive, but it's not always meant to be aggressive, you know. So we have to just be open to have conversation and be inviting, regardless of how people may look at you. The right word that you say can change their heart, even if they are, you know, looking all angry at one point. You know, you can soften them up with a word.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. That was beautiful, Sister Kim. I think that really helped with answering my question. Sister Angel has something to share.
I just think very briefly that it basically in just the way we live our lives, as far as, you know, every moment is basically a teacher moment. Like if you're out at a restaurant or you're, you know, ordering a sub from somewhere or anything and, you know, you address them with, I don't eat pork, you know, could you wash the knives off or whatever you have, that's going to spark, you know, concern for them. Are you allergic to pork? You know, and then you can just go further into, you know, no, this is why and blah, 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 not blah, 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 but et cetera, on, you know, the reason is why, you know, pork isn't good for you. And then, you know, once they start asking how you find out about it, you know, then that's a brief way for you to bring in the Nation of Islam and, you know, the different things that we are being taught to prolong our lives and, you know, just things of that nature. And then, as we all know with our dress code, you know, that's an automatic attraction differently from this world. You know, just the head covering alone, other than, you know, our body being covered, that's always going to be, you know, where are you? Where did you come from? Are you from America? You know, what's your nationality and all those things like that? And, you know, if you don't want to say Islam or Muslim right off the bat because people are already going to assume, you know, my mom, she always says, you know, I represent freedom, justice, and equality. And then going from there, she, you know, keep going on to say, like, you know, the freedom of our people and, you know, the reason why she covers her hair. And, you know, that's just more of a nicer way of, you know, telling them about the teaching instead of just saying I'm Muslim or I'm in the Nation of Islam, because things like that, you know, people already have perceptions and things in their brain that are not going to be willing to listen. But if you come at them with something, you know, that sparks their interest, then they're going to be more willing to, you know, keep listening. Then once you do say it, they're already there, so when they want to learn more, so then, you know, they have no choice but to accept the truth, is what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Angel. I just wanted to take a moment really quick because I know the time is running out. And I just wanted to, you know, thank everyone, you know, for their support for the show. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, it's, I pray for my brother Ronnie is on and his queen is on, Sister Kenyatta, because, you know, I just wanted to, you know, give credit where credit is due, you know, because this is, you know, this is new for me, you know, I was on it before, but, you know, being a co-host or whatever is just, you know, I don't have to direct so much, you know, I have something to say, I say it, things of that nature, but, you know, I just wanted to really give, you know, credit to Brother Ronnie because, you know, this isn't easy, you know, especially if you're kind of shy or whatever the case is, but, you know, Brother Ronnie, you know, ran a really, you know, great show. He had, you know, tons of information lined up for everyone. And I don't care how much I have written down. It's just not coming out right, seems like. But I just wanted to, you know, Brother Ronnie, if you're on, you know, I just wanted to, you know, let you know that we miss you. And, you know, I thank the Lord for this opportunity, you know, and I thank everyone for being here on the call and, you know, being a support and watching both of these different developmental stages. So I just want to say that time before we got off, I would be upset with myself if I got off the call and I didn't say it. So I pray to you for a lot.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Sister Yatira. I believe we just lost Queen Aziza.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Her call, just her phone just dropped. I don't know what happened. However, we are at the end of the show, and as you did, you thanked everyone. We want to thank our listening audience. We want to ask you, we got 7 shows a week, to come back here most definitely next Saturday for Young, Gifted, and Black with our beautiful sister, Cecilia Sierra. Also, I'm going to give you the lineup very, very quickly. Tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., with our brother, Brother Vernon Muhammad, No Romance Without Finance. Monday, Conscious Black Nation, all praise is due to Allah. I'm blessed to be the host. Our topic will be how to eat to live for real. Tuesday, our brother Jihad Muhammad with Out on the Front Line with the FOI. Wednesday, our hip-hop comedy show, DJ Black Caesar. Thursday, Nation Building Presents. And I have no idea what the topic will be, but the host is Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad. Then on Friday, Student Minister James Muhammad will be back with Put On the New Man. And again, of course, like I said, next Saturday, again here with our beloved Sister Yatira for Young, Gifted, and Black. And as I always close, remember the thought is the act, the act is the fact. We either all participate or we dissipate. We want to leave you with the greeting words of peace and paradise as we came. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.